Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Regular season games in the NBA don't get much bigger than they are tonight in Moda Center. For the first time, fans will be in the stands in Rip City, and the Lakers are in town. But neither one of these teams, the Blazers or the Lakers, want to be in that seven spot and in the play-in round. Join us now for a Lakers perspective is LA Times Lakers beat writer Dan Wojcicki, and joining us this afternoon. How you doing, Dan? Thanks for taking a few minutes for us.
I'm very happy to be on the show, and I'm very happy for the people of Portland that they'll be able to go see a basketball game in person. It's fun. It's one of those things that I think you take it for granted how important fan atmosphere is. And tonight, just even having some people in the stand should make a big game even bigger.
And you're right, because, and especially when you have, you know, for the Lakers, the Blazers rivalry may not be much or even considered a rivalry, but for Portland fans, it sure as heck is. And to have this team come in with so much on the line, it does. It means a ton down here or up here. But there, we got a Lakers team with no LeBron, no Dennis Schroeder. What is the health of this team looking like heading into the tip tonight?
Oh, they're wounded for sure. And, you know, Anthony Davis will probably play. That's the latest. But Alex Caruso now is questionable, meaning that the only kind of sort of point guard they had left might not play, putting them down to what would be maybe their fourth, I guess, preferred ball handler. Whoever that would be, we kind of joke yesterday with Frank Vogel about who the emergency point guard would be, whether or not it'd be Jason Kidd or not. You know, and then, I mean, that's sort of where the options are for them. They're not great, which is unfortunate timing because you're coming up against a backcourt in Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum that kind of necessitates having good guards, and you want to make those guys work on defense a little bit. That's part of how you slow them down. And I don't know how the Lakers are going to do that. I'm not 100% sure how the Lakers are going to win, to be totally honest, without, you know, one of the most important positions being staffed, I guess, is the best way to, you know, this is sort of like a restaurant without a cook in some ways. And that's just kind of where they're at right now.
Now, the question about their health that I have is Anthony Davis. I watched the game against the Clippers last night. He did not start off stellar. He was 2 of 9 from the field, 4 points, a rebound. And then he grabbed his ankle and is currently listed as out with back spasms. Can you explore as probable with back spasms? He didn't return to the game because of back spasms. Can you explain to me, like, what is going on with Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost sort of like he's, like, built out of, like, uncooked spaghetti at this point. Like, it feels like, right? Like, where it's just, you know, at any quick moment. So what happened last night was, so in the first quarter, he took a shot at the end of the shot clock, kind of along the sideline, and as he backed up to kind of, like, backpedal down the court, he got caught up with the scorer's table and, like, took a spill. And he did grab his ankle, and it seemed like it was going to be an ankle issue. Maybe, you know, pretty quickly kind of did the thing, you know, retie your shoes. He stayed in the game, kind of walked it off, right? What we did know is that as he kind of vanishes to the back, we weren't sure – I'm sorry, to the locker room. I have to choose your words carefully here. I think the assumption was that it was the ankle, which was getting, you know, what was getting evaluated or whatever. But it turns out, actually, during one of those timeouts, his back locked up on him and he started having back spasms. And I think that combined with the fact that they were just getting absolutely run. And it was an early night, you know, and we talked to him last night and he had expressed some confidence that he'd be able to play today. the injury report suggests that he is, certainly probably going to play today. And the Lakers need him. I mean, really, you know, I kind of have joked about how I'm not sure they're going to win. Like, there's really, in my mind, only like three sort of possible scenarios for the Lakers to win out of like all the infinite possibilities of how this game could go tonight. One, Anthony Davis just like goes totally nuclear, right? And has like a 50-20 game or something like that, right? Where he is the best player on the court. He hasn't shown that really much this year ever before the injuries to the legs and Achilles, certainly not in his recovery, but this would be a pretty good time to look like a max player. The Lakers could get really hot from three, and to me, that's probably the most likely way. Portland, not a great three-point defense, not a great defense in general. That's a possibility. And then I guess the third way is that it's just some super ugly, kind of the way they beat Denver on Monday, where, you know, you win 93-87 and just some like super ugly game. Other than that, it's kind of hard to figure out how it could happen.
You know, as we look at this Lakers team, you've had both AD and LeBron miss a lot of games. One thing that you know about both of those guys and what you know about stars in the NBA is there's a switch and it can be flipped. How quickly do those guys need to be back on the floor, though, for Lakers fans to be comfortable with, you know, just being able to flip that switch?
I mean, I don't think the Laker fans could or should be comfortable at any point between now and the postseason. It just sort of seems like that would be a that'd be a big assumption, right? Mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, you do make the point, and I think this is still true, and I felt this has been true all year, and, you know, I don't think it's any less true as the 6 seed or the 8 seed or the 3 seed or even the 1 seed. If LeBron James and Anthony Davis are close to being 100%, the Lakers will have a reasonable chance in the postseason. I mean, I believe that right now. And I believe that all year. I think my level of confidence in the fact that that can happen has certainly gone down. I think we'll probably see LeBron James at some point next week. He'll try as they go into the playoffs, more than likely as they get ready for the play-in game. I think right now it seems like the Lakers would be the underdog, and you know, certainly a loss tonight would go a long way towards that. Dallas has a pretty easy schedule. Seems like that they're pushing, and the Lakers are playing some of the worst basketball in the West right now. So, I mean, like, things are trending in that direction, but it's funny. Anthony Davis said this last night. I don't know. And I've been kind of thinking about it. I don't know if it's just sort of acceptance of the situation. I'm not sure that the Lakers should be all that scared about a play-in, to be totally honest, as the 7 seed. while staring across the court from Steph Curry, in a one-game situation, in a one-game series, has its own problems. Look, they would have to lose twice at Staples Center, in all likelihood. They're probably not going to slide to the 8 spot. And I'm not even 100% sure that you wouldn't rather see Utah or Phoenix in the first round of playoffs than the Clippers. So I think maybe that's being a little optimistic about a situation. Obviously, I think they would rather have the time off. They would rather be assured of their place. I'm not 100% sure that it is the, oh my God, we need to fire the person whoever thought of this type of panic situation that LeBron James suggested. Anthony Davis said the other day, it's like, you know, we've talked for the last, you know, months about how desperately the Lakers need games and continuity. Maybe one more game on the schedule or two more games on the schedule wouldn't be the worst thing for a team that kind of still feels like it's getting to know one another.
You know, Dan, taking like a 5,000-foot view of the Los Angeles Lakers for this season.
Let's do it.
Awesome. you look at how many games LeBron James has missed. You see how Anthony Davis is having these continual injuries where he's either being probable or just kind of getting into these moments where he's questionable to play. Looking ahead in, say, like 2 years where you still have this window of LeBron James prime, are the Los Angeles Lakers at a kind of inflection point now where they say, look, we planned on giving this thing to Anthony Davis once LeBron said he wanted to retire, but now that's even looking shaky. Yeah. Is there a feeling around the area that that's the case, or am I going too nuclear at this point?
I don't think so. Excuse me. I think that you know, I mean, the Lakers have pushed their chips behind LeBron James and Anthony Davis, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard to argue that they shouldn't do that, right? Obviously, they won a title last year. They were the favorites to win a title this year until kind of everything sort of happened. Now, but in reality, you do look at LeBron James and say, you know, he's been a Laker for three seasons and he's spent, you know, two of the longest injuries of his career. I believe actually the two longest injuries of his career have happened in this time period. You know, he had the groin injury 2 years ago and the ankle injury this year. And, you know, the title they did win happened to come with a pretty lengthy hiatus in the middle of it. Mm. You know, so, yeah, I mean, he's getting older, you know, if not already old by NBA standards. And then you're right. Like, there are kind of questions about Anthony Davis's durability. And I think, not only just durability, but, you know, sort of the ability to, like, kind of not show it when you do get hurt. You know, like, this is a guy fans in New Orleans will know is, like, sort of perpetually, like, being evaluated in the locker rooms and stuff like that. And so, like, there is always a little bit of anxiety that goes along with that. But I don't know what the alternative was, if that makes sense, right? Like, it's sort of like, I think you do cash in your future for an NBA title. There are a lot of franchises that would do it. Portland is probably one of them. Yep. Certainly, right? Like, the Clippers are certainly a team. Like, it's really, really hard to win. And the Lakers were able to win, and that makes it worth it. But, like, when you do sort of look and say, boy, what's this team going to look like in 2 years? You know, this is a team that doesn't have any cap room or draft picks. They do, however, have the advantage of being the Los Angeles Lakers, which means that, you know, you'll always be a place that guys kind of want to go. And you can work with that. You know, we've seen the Miami Heat do that and figure out ways to add guys like Jimmy Butler when it seems like you can't add a guy like Jimmy Butler. So that's going to be the challenge for them. It is just, though, yeah, I mean, this isn't some giant bay window that is open for them to just win championship after championship after championship. Like, they're against the clock. Mm.
So that's a really good, interesting sort of big picture view of the Lakers. In the meantime, you want to talk about 2 years from now, Frank Vogel feels like he's getting put to the test right now, trying to figure out who to get on the floor tonight, on Sunday, on Tuesday, and not knowing who he has. What are some of the things that he's been sort of throwing at the wall in the last few games that you've seen working or not working? And what can we expect to see him attempt tonight, depending on AD's actual health as opposed to what he is on the injury report?
I mean, they just have no options. Like, honestly, at this point, right? Like, there's no time to practice. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it's not like they can, I mean, they really don't have, I mean, the options, I guess, after Alex Caruso point guard is like, you know, with no Talen Horton Tucker playing, is sort of like, and no Dennis Schroeder, no LeBron James, is like, you know, are we ready for a point guard Ben McLemore? I don't think so. Like, you know, is there a way that can Blazers legend Lionel Hollins lace him up? you know, like, that, I mean, that this is sort of the situation like they're in. Like, it is dire. And that's why I said, I don't even think it requires, I don't view this as an indictment of sort of Frank's creativity or anything like that to be able to work this up. Because, I mean, what are his options? Like, is this going to be a team that all of a sudden looks at it and says, you know what, like, we have these three centers, we're going to start all three of them on no practice time? Like, it's not like that's not a real option. So I hate to say it because it seems like a cop-out that it sort of is what it is. But it's, again, like, the Lakers are this team that's sort of in this ocean, and they're just, you know, doing their best to not drown and to wait for the lifeboat to come, you know, mm-hmm. to keep the metaphor going. And I think they think it's going to come, but based with the alternatives, I mean, what else are they supposed to do? And that's, it's a really bizarre thing, because this is sort of how we've kind of all felt about the Lakers since Anthony Davis got hurt. The first time, you know, in February, and it's just been sort of like, once we get whole, once we get whole, once we get whole. Well, what if you don't get whole? And I think that's, you know, the answer to that, I think everybody knows, is that it's not gonna end well for you.
Dan Wojcicki, LA Times Lakers beat writer. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. Let's do it again sometime soon.
All right, sounds good, guys. I hope you, hey, and if you guys have some game tape you want to send the Lakers or your own skills, like, I think they're looking.
I got this.
So just keep that in mind.
Hey, I can't shoot, but I'm scrappy. Let's go.
I'm good for six fouls. Right, well,
I would say you guys both would fit right in with the Lakers.
that almost makes me sad for the Lakers.
Let's no.
Yeah. How about that?
Just kidding.
Hey, people in Portland never feel sad for the Lakers. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. Have a good one.
Yeah, guys, be good. Have a good weekend.
You too.